to all my friends is that all of my issues, it's a me, Mario. Woohoo! Mamma mia! You guys, you're number one. Woohoo! Are you number one? Ho ho! Wait a second, bro. Here we go. Woohoo!
Internet, and welcome to another episode of All My Issues. In this episode, episode 27, we talk about the movie Logan. But before we get into that, let's talk about
Geek Fuel. It's the best.
Geek Fuel, if you're anything like us, and let's face it, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably are. You enjoy geeky things, and one of the best ways to get your monthly geek on is to subscribe to Geek Fuel. Geek Fuel will send you a box monthly filled with comic book, gaming, sci-fi, and pop culture related material. Right now, if you go to our affiliate link, geekfuel.com/allofmyissues, no spaces, you can save $3 off of your Geek Fuel subscription. Oh, yes, $3 off your Geek Fuel subscription. You can use those $3 to invest in a retirement plan because, once you get to the age of our friend Logan, you'll have a nice little cash cow that you can retire with. All right, let's get started. I'm Rick.
I'm Sam.
I'm Chris.
All right, today we are going to talk about Logan.
Yes!
Yes.
So this is going to be completely spoiler-filled
if you haven't commentary, seen it, yes. And you plan on saying it.
You probably don't want to listen to this until
you've seen it.
Until you've seen
you
it.
You can come back. We'll be here.
Or you can listen to it at the same time as you're watching Logan.
Whoa.
I might get kicked out of the theater.
Yeah, it may not be the best viewing experience for Logan either. Because we're probably going to jump around. I got a feeling I'm thinking that's how our conversations usually go. So. Yeah. But
like the X-Men films.
Yes, like the X-Men films.
Yeah, we'll jump through time.
And we'll retcon some stuff.
We will.
Guarantee it. So, I guess we'll get started. But again, just to forewarn you one more time. There will be spoilers.
Here there be spoilers.
All right.
Yar.
So, what do we want to talk about first?
We can talk general impressions.
General impressions. Sam.
General impressions. This movie got me in my feelings.
hit you hard in the feelings.
It got me hard in the feelings.
It hurt my feel bads.
Because I loved it, and I wanted more, but knowing that this is it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, part of me is like, man, that was great, and part of me is like, I wish this wasn't the Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart's last ride. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, that's my feelings towards it too. Is I really enjoyed the movie, and I think those are some of the things that were kind of my takeaway from it too. Is like, I don't really want this to be the end of the characters, particularly Professor X. But we'll get into that. That's my feeling right across the
yeah, general first impression, I loved it.
Yeah.
I did. I thought it was a great movie. And then I had this clever thing I was going to say, and I looked it up on the internet to see if anyone else had said it, and apparently everybody has said it, so I was going to call it No Country for Old X-Men.
Yes, yeah.
But apparently that's all over the internet. Someone else thought of it long before I did, so okay, whatever.
Yeah. Except all the death scenes happen right in your face, as opposed to No Country for Old Men, where somebody dies and you're like, "What? I didn't wonder. Did I fall asleep? I don't know." That's the only problem I ever had with that movie. But the death happens off scene, off camera. But like you guys have just said, my same thoughts with it as well is that, you know, I loved it. There are probably some things that I would, you know, plot wise that I might change slightly that I think would probably improve the film. But overall, I thought it was definitely the best Wolverine film, hands down. I think I might have liked X-Men First Class just a little bit better, maybe, because I think maybe as a story, it might fit.
I'll have to wait and see how this settles. My initial impression is that it might be my favorite of the X-Men films.
Is it really?
Yeah. And I love First Class. I love Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
I like Age of Apocalypse. I like X2. So we'll see where it settles in after repeated viewings and some time to think about it. But for me, this felt like a really good movie that happened to be about characters that I loved before I went into the movie.
Right.
Rather than, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it just... And I know, like, I read after watching it and had, like, some of the issues that I've kind of had with it was just, like, it seemed like there were some plot decisions that were kind of made, like, may have cut something short, maybe should have described things a little bit more, in more detail. Like, as far as, like, there's that event that's mentioned that happens on the East Coast, and we kind of talk about, you know, we're assuming that it's Professor X somehow inadvertently killed people. We're assuming that it may be the X.
It's said on the radio, actually.
Yeah.
The radio program said it.
Or something.
It left, I forget the people.
45 X-Men dead.
It said, they just said left this many people and this many mutants dead, and so... And then he mentions Westchester, which is of course where the school is. So,
right. So,
which I kind of had a fan theory about this.
Oh,
because
grab your tinfoil.
grab tinfoil. Because around the time where in the comics where the Reavers came out, that's basically when the time where the whole world thought the X-Men were dead.
No, that's true. That is true.
That is true.
Yeah.
So, I'm. In my hopes of hopes,
they're not really dead.
I'm hoping they're not really dead, and I'm thinking the only person who's able to basically withstand Professor X's when that happens to his head is Wolverine. So, I'm thinking maybe the X-Men, they all agreed, hey, Wolverine, you know, you're the only one who can basically stand it when he does that. Don't tell him what happened here. Make him just, if he doesn't remember or whatever, or if he's thinking something else, just make him think that I never talk about it. Because, you know, Professor Xavier mentions that, like, we never talk about it and you always drug me when we try to talk about it. So maybe that is Wolverine's way of protecting Professor Xavier from thinking about the X-Men if he knew that they were alive and start trying to telepathically tried to locate them. So that's my hopefully fan.
This is your fan way to keep the X-Men alive.
To keep the X-Men alive, because to be honest with you, and when the movie was over with, I sat in the theater and was just hoping that something else would come on where the new mutants,
like a post credit
scene, the new mutants will get to the place they're getting at, and
there's X Men there,
and you see X Men,
there's Cyclops,
hey,
and there's Warpath leading them in, and...
right? Yeah, just like hey, well, you guys are the new mutants, we're the X Men, I would have just been like, oh, but you know, that's just my hope, and maybe that can work that in.
Yeah, I don't know.
But when I seen that nothing was after the credits, it just felt real to me that this is it.
That's probably, that was their intention, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm more bleak than you, Sam.
Yeah, I kind of think they're
probably
gone, too.
I feel that there's no mutants around left except for a couple smattering up there in Eden. I mean, I'm not saying your theory's wrong. I'm just saying that...
Yeah.
I'm taking it at face value.
Yeah. I and that was the thing too, that I was kind of like, I was you know, I think all of our impressions was that Logan was going to die at the end of the film. I think that's pretty much, but my thoughts were, why is Canada safe?
Because all right, I'm going to just take this moment to get, just to get this out of the way. We just spent, you know, 2 hours and some change, probably. I didn't time the movie. Rooting for refugees to hop the border to the north.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Right. Yes.
Which is a dangerous decision, I feel, in this political climate.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. That's very true.
We're not even safe in the south.
But what I was, and you're absolutely right. What I was thinking is like the Weapon X program took place in Canada, right?
That's correct.
They're going to Canada where Weapon X took place at. So I'm just saying is that like I can't even see Canada being safe, really.
Well, and again, we seem to talk about Canada a lot in a good way, but this is the future, 2029, and you see there's degrees. The testing they were doing in Mexico is legal in America and Canada. America clearly has an anti-mutant policy, and there's a lot of people in America who clearly hate the mutants. So maybe Canada's kind of like, hey, it's the land of the free, you know. And
yeah.
We have Alpha Flight.
Come be.
That's,
grab some Timbits and come on up and we'll.
That could be. Alpha Flight will protect you.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, who can withstand the power of Puck?
Exactly. That's what I've always wanted to see. I wanted to see a film adaptation of Puck. You know?
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool. But that's the one thing that I was thinking, like, I was as we're watching this and as it's getting closer towards the end, I was thinking, well, okay, maybe Logan's going to survive, but he's going to be horribly disfigured or something like that. Maybe he's going to lose an arm or something like that, but basically become the Professor X for these new mutants. That's what I was thinking it's going to be. Because now, like, as it is, they don't really have any,
any glimmer of hope that he was surviving this movie. Because between just showing that he wasn't healing the way he used to, showing Professor X in his debilitated state, and you've got this really depressing setting. And then when they do finally escape and things seem to be getting a little bit lighter, they watch the movie Shane, which ends which ends with the heroes presumed death as he slumps over on a horse and the kid yells after him. I thought we would actually probably get something closer to that, but we kind of got the opposite where the kids were going away. But I couldn't. There was at no point to this movie where I had any glimmer of hope that Wolverine was making out, and it still hit me at the end whenever he died.
That is true.
Part of me was kind of hoping that it had the same ending as The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, where lightning might strike and you're just like,
oh, and maybe a rock kind of
moves. Rock kind of move.
No, I wanted the full carry. The hand pop up out.
Yeah. That would have been kind of cool to see. Like maybe like a residual effect of the green.
It would ruin the whole movie.
Oh, yeah.
It would have. But
nevertheless,
it would have been cool.
Yeah.
In some strange way.
That's why I thought, like, in a way, like if he was mangled. Or, like, you know, a leg missing, something like that, you know, to where he, you know, he couldn't be the Wolverine that we all know and love, but he could still be maybe a mentor, you know, be kind of like a, I don't know. Because those kids right now are left without any kind of...
And see, that's why my ex...
They're headed to Eden. They got to the place that took them to Eden. Yeah. It's not just that Canada's safe.
Yeah.
It's that you walk this way to the border.
But we don't even know what's in Eden, though, really.
And that's why my X-Men theory... It's
still possible.
It's still possible.
Or it could be like Terminus in The Walking Dead, and they just really like the taste of mutants.
That could be too. We want to keep it dark. And bleak.
I'm going darkest timeline here. They're going to get there, and Tasha Yar is going to be barbecuing up. I don't know. Pick a mutant.
Richter is going to, you know.
Yeah.
X-23 comes with her own shish kebabs.
Yes.
Callisto. It's fried Morlock. That's what it is.
Fried Morlock.
Let's talk about the villains.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got Reavers.
You got the Reavers.
Yeah. You know, and this is just like a total side thought. I thought what they should have done, because, I mean, they've kind of changed the storyline a little bit, obviously. It's a little bit of a departure from the comic books. that they maybe they should have had the Reavers earlier on and maybe like a younger version. You know, there's because there's a lot of time frame there that they kind of left open. Mm-hmm. Maybe they should have skipped time a little bit. Maybe they should have showed Wolverine, a slightly younger Wolverine maybe. Possibly cutting the limbs off of some mercenaries.
And then,
those mercenaries becoming the Reavers. So they have a beef against Wolverine.
Okay.
I just thought that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see, I understand that. Because, yeah, you were just wondering that, that some of these guys, because most of the Reavers had metal enhancement.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're like, did you guys volunteer for this? Or did you guys, just wounded and this was...
And that's why I thought it'd be kind of cool. Like, then there's a reason for them to maybe to hate Wolverine.
Right.
Or whatever, you know, to be antagonistic against him in some way.
I like the way that it kind of came around full circle, being that the person who gave Wolverine his his metal claws.
Yeah, yeah.
His son had picked up
where his father left off. Continued experimenting on humans or mutants. Mutants. I guess mutants are humans too. But.
Yeah.
Well, we know who the. Speciesist is over here. I'm just going to go closer to Sam.
Oh, man.
Like how but that kind of came around full
but
circle.
You know, we kind of wonder, though, too, like, I mean, there's got to be more people that are involved in those programs. I mean, they had Caliban's body still, and, you know, they...
I mean, there is stuff that, you know, you wonder. Yeah. You know, if you're hoping that the doctor is the most important piece of the puzzle, and with
and
his death it falls apart. But I mean, quite frankly, it doesn't seem that that's actually likely. We could clone people now if we had the desire and the laws that didn't prevent it, I'm sure. So so I imagine that it theoretically still could go on.
Yeah,
I do think it was an interesting choice to make the big bad, if you will, his younger self.
Yeah,
when so much
of
the movie is about him trying to escape the pain of his past, and there it is right in his face.
I didn't even think about that.
That is true. I like it in some regards, and just because it is kind of like, okay, this is how he was. You know, this is his.
Well, this is the this
self,
is this
you know?
Is the killer. This is just the straight up killer. This that's really just a part of him. You know, so he has to kill that part kind of to find peace, even though isn't able to. He wasn't able to really find peace until it was dead, right?
Yeah,
so.
It is true.
But I really thought it was Sabretooth at first when it first came on.
I thought
for a brief second,
too,
it reminded me of Leif Shaver.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I was like,
and I wonder if that was intentional. Because,
I don't know.
You know, the hair is short. It's kind of like he had kind of had the the Leif Shaver.
Hair.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And he seemed like he was taller.
Right.
I don't know.
I feel it's ironic that you've got Hugh Jackman at the age he is right now, who still looks amazing for his age. Actually looks amazing for just about any age.
Yeah.
You've got him playing much older than what he is by the beard and, you know, made up to look old. And then also playing him made up to look young.
Yeah.
At no point is he like
current
Hugh Jackman.
That is true. That's true. Yeah. I guess kind of liked it, but the one thing that like when they first showed him, the first thing I kind of thought, I'm like, oh no, it's kind of like what they did in the first Wolverine movie, kind of like where the Deadpool character is kind of an amalgamation of the other mutants and kind of like he kind of, you know, fought his clone in that one, although you know, albeit a much worse version of a clone of him, but that's the only thing I kind of wish they would have almost went a different route with that, but I mean, it makes sense. I like the fact that ultimately he couldn't even defeat himself in a way because he was so
well
weakened.
But realistically, if you're viewing it as a representation of his past and defeating it by having his daughter defeat it, and that ties into the...
Much more poetic.
So this is what it feels like. And that could be to die because he's never experienced death, but it could also be to look on and feel, see someone he loves, you know, staring back at him. So it could be that as well. So, you know.
And finding basically true love and having
a and not having the consequence of the people you love being torn apart, which seems to be
an ongoing theme for him.
But I really liked it, and the X-23 character, Laura.
She was awesome.
She rocked it.
Yeah. That's got to be such a hard role, I think, for a kid actor that age, you know. But she owned it.
Yeah.
I was excited. I didn't know if they would ever mention in any way that she was X-23. It would just be implied by the fact she has claws, but to actually have it mentioned and to have the Reavers mentioned by name. Was exciting because I began to question whether or not they were actually Reavers because they were different than the comic book Reavers, you know, in some ways.
Nobody had a tank body.
And there was, you know, they weren't in the Australian outback.
That's true.
Right, so I began to question if they're but when he said the word Reavers, I was like, oh. I got chills. And this is gonna sound terrible, like I'm a horrible human being, but I got chills right at the beginning when he just unleashed and went full berserker on the four guys that were stealing his hubcaps. I got chills just because it was the first time I ever got to see Wolverine truly unleashed, except for X2, where you don't actually get to see him unleashed. I wanted to see berserker rage, and he had a little mini berserker rage. I was like, oh, this is already a better movie than I thought I was going to get.
If you ever wondered what it looked like when Wolverine put his claws through somebody's head,
you got to see
that.
Exactly.
When that little girl walked out and threw the severed head at the other Reavers.
Right.
That was so BA.
That was.
And you just like the fact that, you know, the head bad guy of the Reavers, the character Donald Pierce, he was just like, okay, everybody's back. It wasn't like everyone get ready. He was like, everyone get back.
Yeah.
It wasn't like
you got all these heavily armed giant men.
Yeah.
And they all looked different, and they all looked like they had a history too. More powers to the special effects crew that designed each one of them to look that way.
That is true. But yeah, just totally like that first scene where you kind of see her come out like that with, because you kind of, you know, just from the trailers and stuff, we knew she was going to be kind of a badass. But you know, like you said, threw the head out. Oh. This is the kind of badass we're talking about.
Yeah. And she just starts throwing down her book bag.
And it's like, nope. But I mean, she cleaned house.
She did.
Yeah, she did.
It's also the first time I have ever seen the chain link fence survive being hit by a car in a movie.
Right, I know. That's why I was like, oh man.
And that was really badass when he turned the corner and the dude that was still, I was like, oh, there's a dude on the chain link fence. Yeah, and then
slammed him against the wall. That's
so good.
That was good. That was awesome.
Amazing stunts. It was like, I don't know, it was good.
Yeah. The action sequences were awesome.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
You know what I didn't realize? I didn't realize that the character Caliban was also in Age of Apocalypse.
Oh, really? I still haven't seen Age of Apocalypse.
Yeah, played by a different actor.
Yeah,
really.
I mean, that's the way they're going to explain it. Yeah, okay. Because Age of Apocalypse was
the '80s.
Yeah, so this is 40 years older. And,
oh, okay.
45 years older.
Same kind of complexion.
Yeah.
So it kind of fits then.
But he, having Stephen Merchant play him.
Oh, I thought it was awesome.
I thought he was awesome, but at the same time, when I looked at him, I kept going, that's Stephen Merchant.
He did a good job.
I mean, I can't fault him for the fact that, he's Stephen Merchant.
I was surprised to see him in the role too, because I had heard nothing about him playing as Caliban. When I saw him, I was like, is that Steve Merchant? I'm like, it is.
I heard
Steve
he was
Merchant.
In the movie. That's, did but, you really? But I didn't know what role he was playing. Oh,
okay, see, I didn't even know he was in the movie. But yeah, he was a good surprise.
Yeah. I felt a little bad that he was. I was mad he was giving up his friends, but I was happy he went out the way he did.
Exactly. Yeah. I was too. He went out heroic.
I always liked that character for some reason.
I did too. I was.
I liked the Morlocks in general, though. Yeah. Mutants just live in sewers.
But I guess that brings up the thing, too, where I was just kind of, like, sad to see how Professor X went out. He didn't really go out very heroically. Just kind of, like, no good, you know, ending for him, I don't think. Yeah. You know, it's kind of... I would have liked to have seen... Just because what kind of transpired. I would have been okay with him getting stabbed by the Wolverine clone and dying from that, but maybe what I thought... I kind of mentioned this to Chris earlier.
Before I decided we shouldn't talk anymore.
Exactly. That the way everything progressed from there, where, you know, the Wolverine clone kind of got shotgunned in the head and kind of died from that, essentially, that it might have been cooler if maybe Professor X, like, at one last thing, like, kind of erased or melted his mind with his powers or something like that. And to me, that would almost have been a little bit more plausible of a way for a clone of Wolverine to die than to get shotgun blasted in the head and die from that.
So I'm going to counterpoint. Hold on. Yeah. My counterpoint is that while, yes, it's not the best way, when we talk about our elderly relatives, how would we like them to die?
Kind of quietly in their sleep.
Yeah. He said the best day that he's had in years.
That is true. That is true.
And he died in bed, kind of. He really died in the back of a pickup truck, but he was killed more or less in bed. He just survived long enough to say something.
Go get her.
I think he actually said was skip the boat or whatever they called it.
At the end, the sun catcher or something.
Forget about the sun catcher.
It's like, what about the sun catcher?
I think he said forget about it.
Did he say forget about the sun catcher?
Okay. So, which is kind of funny last words or whatever. But what was Professor X's life all about? Saving young mutants. His last heroic act wasn't at his deathbed. It was convincing Logan that he needed to take the girl.
Yeah.
So he died in the middle of his most heroic last act. And after he had some small bit of peace.
That is true.
There, I give you counterpoint.
Yeah. I kind of had a problem, too, though. That Logan didn't go back and get the girl at that point. I was like, come on, what are you doing? And I'm like, is he really going to? He's not going to really leave her behind. And it just makes me wonder, like, if Professor X hadn't have been mortally wounded, would he have gone back? Because it seemed like, because even that dinner that they had, that they shared a moment, maybe not the greatest moment, but it seemed like there was a connection. It seemed like they were having, like, a family moment, all of them.
But he had to make a decision, and his decision was first check on the person that saved him all those years ago. Versus the girl that he met yesterday.
Yeah.
That he hasn't grown attached to.
Yeah.
So the character arc there within this movie is he went from being a mutant who doesn't care, and that's what the point that she makes there of the, he's like, people I care always get hurt, and that's when she's like, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
And leaves, and then he's making the decision to go save her.
Yeah.
Is showing that he cares.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Look at me. I'm defending things that I don't even know I was going to defend. and I know you had a problem with the way the clone died, but he didn't really die. He just doesn't, like I said, I was telling him, I just think he doesn't have as strong of a healing factor as Wolverine in his prime. He's got, like, a lesser degree of it, which is why they have to give him... the green liquid, what is that from?
Is that a callback to
an earlier movie?
You know what, to be honest with you...
X-Men Origins or some such nonsense? I watched it, but I don't really remember a lot of X-Men
Origins. Not the Origins or anything. I kind of remember that, but maybe that is possibly the healing factor that they use for Deadpool?
Maybe.
Yeah. It says it enhances your power, whatever it is, so it enhances healing power.
Yeah.
To get him to... I mean, he did get... It wasn't just that he got shot with a shotgun. It was that, you know, he had... his eyeball blown out, and I'm sure bullets rolling around
inside of his brain. Yeah.
Not by bullets, Eric LaSalle.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Which was cool because he was an ER doctor at one point, so he could have just went and, you know, I'm surprised he didn't bandage himself up. Get a
that's true.
Noah. What's his name? I forget.
Noah Wiley
and George Clooney.
I'm gonna bring up something, and is it just, and it kind of like is messing with me a little bit. Uh-oh. like the fact that they put things in the food to stop the X gene from being passed along. And that's like kind of scary because they could
The genetic engineered corn and stuff.
That started reminding me of Children of Men. Children of Men. So it's like, it was like
20. It reminds me of the movie The Stuff. There's a deep cut. Anyone remember The Stuff?
But bringing up that movie Children of Men, that's what a lot of this movie kind of made me feel about too. Have you ever seen that movie
Children of Men? I love it.
Yeah, and it's because it's kind of like same thing, except this is only related to mutants. You know,
They stopped having kids. I can see that.
You know, and
the parallels there.
There are some parallels, and then trying to save a new
kid. A lot of parallels. You know?
So same.
Hadn't thought about that. Yeah. That's good food for thought.
Yeah, but.
So yeah, so I was like, that's kind of messed up, and you know, when you look at some of the things that we eat, and you look at all these words, and you're like, what is that? And you
gotta
look
it up. Yeah, what are they trying to do? Yeah,
right.
I thought the future that they kind of presented, I thought was kind of interesting, and I kind of wish, you know, I mean, you can only explore so much of the future in that time frame, but I like. The self-driving trucks.
Yeah.
Yes.
With the weird beep beeps. You know, and something interesting too is oftentimes when they show stuff that's in the future, they go out of their way to show how, ooh, look at the future. I mean, we've got a Professor X here who is, I don't know, ostensibly older than the one that was in Days of Future Past. And the world is nothing like Days of Future Past in terms of technology and everything that they showed there.
That is true. So, I hadn't thought about that,
So in theory, Trask's death really cut down on the way the world would change that way. But oftentimes whenever things are set like 20 years in the future, it's an unrecognizable future where realistically it would never be that changed.
Exactly. That
dramatic. I like the futures that look like today, but with just slightly different. Children of Men did a good...
It was a good example of that. Yeah, totally.
Where it feels like it could have been happening today, but they have technology that we wouldn't have, you know? And that kid that's sitting there mindlessly playing with the air was pretty awesome. But you didn't really see a lot, but it was cool what you did see.
It's like those little things.
Especially like the dashboard, Logan's dashboard in the limo. It was more computerized.
More touch enabled, maybe possibly. Mm. You know,
and he used his real name.
He did, James Howlett.
He did.
Yeah.
He used his real name.
Thought it was weird they made the choice to randomly show boobs.
Yeah, I thought that almost seemed to me kind of like, okay, hey, we're R rated. This is here to prove it. It seemed unnecessary.
So just in case the bad language we've shown and the
limbs getting cut off. The limbs
and the people dying isn't enough. We're going to show boobs too. We get the full R.
The full R, exactly.
Yeah.
Just in case you were wondering. But
I'm not that I'm going to complain about seeing a new set of boobs I've never seen before.
I hear you.
But...
It just seemed like an odd choice.
It just seemed like an odd choice. Whatever.
Yeah, just threw them in there.
Yeah.
One point, but
maybe it's to show the hypocriticalness of people watching this with their kids at the theater, which is apparently happening a lot, where parents would take their kids, and being like, because is that the thing that's going to make people walk out after watching all that other stuff?
I could see that.
We are kind of weird in America about that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Limbs getting cut off. That's okay. All boobs. All right, we're out of here.
Yeah, we're out of here.
Yeah, I never kind of... Yeah, that whole Janet Jackson Super Bowl thing, I never quite got why it was so, you know.
No.
So,
people like to be outraged about things.
They do, yeah.
Yeah. We're a nation of people who enjoy outrage.
Yeah.
The rage!
The rage!
We are our own rage virus.
we are. And it's, the one thing, too, that I thought was kind of interesting is they kind of showed in the future, too, early on when that one car of, like, frat boys drives by, like, the Mexican border, screaming USA.
Yeah.
USA. I thought that was kind of an interesting little addition to that film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something that I wished I would have paid more attention to when he was looking through the files. I was scanning where things were, but I didn't get a chance to really look to see. I'm wondering who those, if we know the mutants those other people are based on. Like the girl with the cold breath, is she based on Bobby Drake?
Or not?
Yeah.
I was trying to look at, because the young black kid who had the electrical powers, I think his last name was Bradford or something like that. I was trying, okay, which person do I know that has that power, that has that name? And I was,
yeah. And unfortunately, they showed X-23 last, so I could play, oh, there's where it says James Howlett. If he would have done that first and then flipped, I would have been like, okay, what name am I looking for?
Do I recognize it? Yeah, that's true.
I was trying to do that, so.
Trying to think if there's any, if I have any actual issues with the movie. And I really don't.
Yeah. I wouldn't go as far as to say that it had anything that ruined the movie for me, because I did really enjoy it. I did.
Can we talk about the hotel scene?
The slow motion?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty BA.
I mean, just think about it. It's like,
the only claws are pulling them down the hallway. That is
the only awesome, Reaver that I felt sorry for was the one in the doorway.
Yeah.
Who looked over and saw him and couldn't move.
They're all seeing this guy moving, and the
rest of them, he was coming up behind him at least, or from the side. This one was like just looking and going, he had to be going, okay, well, this is my end.
Yeah,
and
this is how I'm going to die.
And just like right in his head, and it's like,
and the sudden release. It's almost reminiscent of the Days of Future Past with the Quicksilver.
Kind of collapse. Yeah, that is true. That is true.
I was just like, man, that is just intense.
And of course, one was still left slightly alive, again showing Logan slipping a little bit.
Yeah.
But man, X-23 took that one out.
that is true. That is true, too. Yeah.
I want an X-23 movie. I want a New Mutants movie that's truly a New Mutants movie. I think they're doing a New Mutants
show or movie that's
going to be younger.
And that actually brings up the one thing I wanted to mention, too, is like, they kind of end the movie totally kind of setting up where there could be like a cast of New Mutants. I mean,
would they be
X-23?
Would they be just like the New Mutants and graduate to be X-Men, to start the new X-Men? And I see that's...
I think they might just take it.
I don't think they would call it that at all.
Yeah.
I think that we might see an X-23 solo film.
Yeah. I could see that. And maybe with those characters being like a support cast. Because,
what better origin story do you need than the 23rd clone of Wolverine, and you've just had an entire movie about your rescue.
Right. Exactly, yeah. And you see how awesome she is by taking out a...
Sorry, I'm having trouble understanding right now. Please try a little later.
So you're taking out a...
What just happened?
I don't know, that was kind of weird. I think my internet just came
there
back.
There, Lee.
Uh-oh. People are listening in.
Not the ones we want. That's right. They've discovered my thumbs.
Yeah.
Oh. They know that I'm a mutant. They're after me. But, quick, I need to go to Canada.
That's right. It's safe in Canada.
Via North Dakota.
Yeah. Where were we going? Oh, the New Mutants.
Yeah.
I could see them maybe X-23 and the New Mutants. Type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they're definitely.
I think they already cast like Sunspot or someone.
Oh, have they?
They're doing old school New Mutants.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Cannonball.
Yeah, so I kind of liked Richter as a character. Cypher. That'd be interesting.
And Warlock.
Warlock.
I would love to see Warlock. Cool. And we might have mentioned before, but I would love to see. I think we talked about Longshot when we were doing this, but I would love to see Mojo World.
That would be sweet. That would be cool. That would be really sweet.
I like the old New Mutants comics, and it might have been just I was a good age before it, but I really liked Cypher and Warlock's relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's the...
There's Wolfbane.
Wolfbane. Who else is there? I'm trying to think who else. There's a couple ones we're leaving out, I think.
Shaman or something like that?
He's like a mini Warpath.
Yeah, he was like a,
And then there was a girl, I think.
Was it Cannonball?
Oh, Ileana Rasputin. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Magic. Yeah.
I can't believe that she came to mind, and her real name comes to mind, not her character.
Not her character name. It's that whole connection to Colossus. That's okay. Awesome. Yeah.
Well, Bird Brain, but that was not an original. That was came around, I forget what issue.
Yeah.
Blink.
No, Blink.
Was in it at least part-time, or part of the time. Boom Boom. Boom. Cannonball.
Yep. Yeah, I like Cannonball.
I do not remember Rusty Collins.
Yeah, I remember Rusty.
I remember Rusty Trombone.
Rusty and Skid. They I forgot what their powers were, but they had got brainwashed by.
See, Skid did that. His power was something like where he actually, I think, skidded, didn't he?
Was Skid? Something like that. Skid was a girl.
Was this guy? I don't know. Now I'm like mixing my characters up.
They got brainwashed by.
That's the under rules you don't want, by the way.
Yeah.
You don't want skids under rules.
Yeah, no skids.
Cypher?
Yes.
Domino was in it for some reason. I don't remember her being in it, but okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Probably right before they became X-Force.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Actually, yeah.
Feral?
Right, yeah.
Feral, yes. That was, X-Force, before X-Force.
Whatever happened with
Gossamer?
I don't know.
Karma? She was one of the originals.
Yeah, Karma was original.
Magic.
Yeah.
Magma.
Magma was original.
Magma.
Mirage. Richter. Shatterstar, but that was late.
That was
right before X-Force.
X-Force.
Yeah.
Skid, Sprite, Sunspot, Warlock, Warpath, and Wolfsbane.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I like Sunspot, too. I thought that was a cool character, yeah. I liked Richter, too.
Yeah.
I really like Magic a lot.
I thought her character was cool. Just that whole dimensional thing that she could do.
Goes to Limbo and demons and stuff.
Yeah.
See, I like the Boom Boom. Hey, Boom Boom, how you doing?
Oh.
Fair enough.
There you go.
How you doing? So. Oh, something I did want to kind of throw out there. You know, since basically my theory with the X-Men or whatever. Do you think that there's going to be another X-Men movie?
Well, we know there is.
That kind of deal. We talked about a little bit about the Dark Phoenix saga. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So do you think that just brings up the fact that if Professor Xavier had killed the X-Men, that Jean Grey is already dead? Because that's the only other person who can combat the... telekinesis.
Oh,
maybe. Yeah.
So if the X-Men are really dead, then that means that she's already dead because she's basically the only person besides Emily Frost. But I doubt if she's going to be an X-Men.
Yeah.
No, probably not after First Class.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would think that because my thoughts are the Logan movie is probably just a totally separate timeline that they're just, you know.
Yeah, if they're going to line them up. Yeah. I was just saying that it would line up.
I don't know what they're going to do. I just don't know how much longer they could do the X-Men movies the way they are.
Yeah.
You know, because...
It seems like they're kind of... Because they're all over the place. It seems like it's time for maybe a solid reboot.
Yeah.
Right.
Which, just while we're talking about other X-Men movies, X-Force... They have announced that Cable and Deadpool will both be in the X-Force movie.
Okay.
So
that'll be cool. I like to see them do that.
It just would have been nice to have Wolverine in the X-Force.
It would have been. Yeah.
A nice 48 hours X-Men movie. Like 48 hours, like Eddie Murphy and Nick Nolte.
Mm-hmm. Well, like with Logan and Deadpool Logan or something. Deadpool. Yeah, that would be... That would be pretty cool, especially how they go back and how Hugh Jackman, Ryan Reynolds go back and forth with each other on Twitter. It's pretty entertaining, and so I don't know. I guess I don't think I have much else really to say about the movie. It is sad to see that, you know, Patrick Stewart. That's the one thing I did want to say too, is that, you know, Hugh Jackman became Wolverine. You know, I think. Even before they cast a character or an actor to play Professor X, the world thought that Patrick Stewart should play Professor X.
Yeah,
I cannot think of a better actor to play Professor X than Patrick Stewart.
Right. Well, I would argue that prior to Patrick Stewart, the world didn't know about Professor X.
Yeah, you could. You know,
it was a very small percentage.
That is probably very.
But every comic book fan, I can't think of a single person that you would have rather seen in that role.
Yeah, exactly. I remember having conversations with my friends in high school and stuff. Oh, who could they have play Professor X?
Yeah, who cast the X-Men movie?
Yeah. Patrick Stewart.
Exactly. And
of course, back then, I really wanted Glenn Danzig to be Wolverine.
Yeah, that is true.
Because he had the mutton chops already and the height.
Yeah, and the build.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, what a movie that would have been.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but, yep.
And props to Hugh Jackman, though, for taking a 5'3" character being played by a 6'3" person.
Right,
And playing it to perfection.
Yeah. Exactly. He definitely embraced the role.
He did.
Where, you know, I think a lot of actors may have used the X-Men films as a vehicle to try to further their career and maybe not stay with that character as long as Hugh Jackman did. But Hugh Jackman, he embraced the role, and I think he's grateful for the role.
Yeah.
And just, you know, honestly, Hugh Jackman seems like a real solid guy. Like,
yeah,
he just seems like an awesome guy. Like, humble.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything that I guess Wolverine's not. Yes. In a way, you know.
I don't know about that.
Well, I mean, what I mean is Wolverine's kind of the grumpy kind of,
grumpy old man.
Yeah.
You only say that because you've never seen Hugh Jackman's Berserker Rage.
This is true. This is true. I have not seen that.
I like the fact also, just one little thing, the movie had the whole homage to the X-Men comic book.
I want to say this. Yeah. And though it was only a cameo in comic book form, I was excited to see Sauron.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because if you look closely, it wasn't exactly the X-Men book that we know. It was like...
Oh, sure, no, it was different.
Yeah, it was different, but it was just kind of cool. Like, hey, everybody knows who you are. It's like, you're the Wolverine. It's like, man, X-Men used to be... You didn't know about the X-Men, now everybody knows who you are.
And the group of kids mourning his death at the end, I feel, is very symbolic of...
How
we all felt. Exactly. And the one kid sitting there holding a Wolverine figure.
Yeah.
Or a doll. I don't know. It's big.
Yeah.
That was me.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The symbolism was definitely shed? There.
Were tears shed? You know, no, because I know Wolverine wouldn't want that.
Were tears shed?
No, because I think, because I knew it.
I held him back. So much, it was hard more because my wife was over there crying. And so sometimes I get a little choked up whenever I know that whatever. I held him back, and it became very hard when she picked up the cross and turned it into an X.
That was more moving than the actual death scene. That is to me as well, because that was the thing, the moment I didn't expect. Like, I expected, okay, this is when he's going to die.
And I didn't know she was turning into an X.
I didn't either.
I was like, when she picked it up, I was like, well, I guess that's kind of accurate, though a weird statement to make, but yeah, he doesn't exactly strike me as a religious person in the comics. So, because remember, Dracula wasn't affected whenever he...
Because
he didn't believe.
That's right. He's a murderer.
Oh, that's a deep cut.
Yeah, anyway, right?
But then she turned it on, you know, its side and made it to an X.
That's the thing, too. When I realized that, I was like, oh. That was kind of a moment where I got a little bit of chills. And I was like, oh, that's pretty awesome.
I also got a little bit of chills whenever... through Hugh Jackman's acting at the gravesite of Professor X.
Yes.
That was very...
Yeah, that probably got me more than his death towards the end. Because I kind of expected it and kind of knew he was going to die and wanted to die.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, yeah. Good movie, though.
Very good movie.
Yeah.
It is up there for me as one of the top Marvel movies. Because I got Captain America, Winter Soldier, and I think that follows that for me.
I'll tell you another thing that I like about the movie in general, and we might have discussed something like this before, but the stakes of that movie are low. They're high for the individual characters, but the fate of the world moves on.
Yeah.
Just no matter what goes on. And it really kind of, you know, when you're watching a movie like the DC movie, Superman, where it's a global scale, you know the heroes have to win.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going to necessarily, you know that probably Wolverine's going to die, and you assume the girl's going to get away. But if it doesn't, again, the world goes on.
Yeah.
You know, Zod wins, and we're all enslaved for the rest of time.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see a lower stakes, in this case, R-rated movie that is lower budget, lower everything, get a nice big reward from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Not everything has to be world ending.
Exactly. Yeah.
But that didn't end my world. Wolverine's gone.
Yeah. Oh!
Wolverine's gone.
He'll be back.
Yeah. I guess that's it.
Yeah.
So
thank you, Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart, for your work.
And your contribution to our childhood.
Your exactly. service yeah. to nerddom.
That's right. Indeed. Bringing those characters to life.
We will ever be grateful for you. And
there you go. Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening.
Later.
I'm in my feelings now, man.